Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. Been an interesting week. I've had a few interviews, so I've got some juicy things for you to listen to. But before we go there, let's start with the normal. I'm just a black mother of West Indian descent with two young adults now based in London, UK. I'm not an expert in anything. I'm just sharing thoughts, opinions, and experiences in the hope that it helps another parent somewhere. So today, the podcast was going to be about youth safety, especially as kids have gone back to school. We're all having to be, well, we're relieved, some of us, that they've going back to school. They've gone back to school. Some of us are not so happy. But youth safety is still something that I have been passionate about for the past few years. And so I wanted to have a conversation around that. So today, my daughter came in from school and I was asking her the question, is youth safety still relevant? So I would invite you to listen to our conversation and see what you think.
Child, oh, you've got anger management, you are a troubled kid, blah blah blah. Then I believe in that, whether you believe it or not. But adults and teens saying to younger kids, oh, you're probably like this because you've got this issue, that is subconsciously, they're subconsciously now thinking, oh, maybe I do have anger management problems, maybe I do have this, maybe I do have that, which kind of links onto the attention thing, because it's like they've now I don't know if they caused it upon themselves, but they've like, they weren't in, some of them weren't in a situation before, and now they're in a situation where they have these so-called issues, and so they like the attention that they're getting, which they may not get elsewhere, and they will continue to try and satisfy their attention. It is kind of like an addiction, like once you start taking drugs, it's like you need to continue satisfying your...
So you're seeing that violence is like a drug.
And
they get a high from the drug. And so they keep being violent. And you've said that if you're vulnerable, then you're a target. And if we label you as a troubled child or an angry child, you might not have had that label yourself. But because you've been labelled it, you think you need to play up to it.
Yeah.
And that's... But then... All right, Bella. What... So... As parents, we're frightened about things that may happen to you out in the street. So do you think that we, as parents, have a valid reason to feel that way?
I feel like you have a valid reason, definitely, but I feel like parents and like teachers, I feel like their role should be to mostly educate the younger people on... I feel like a lot of older people... I don't want to say like that, but I feel like a lot of people like sugarcoat what actually goes on. I feel like some kids have reached a certain age, or they need to lower the age where kids have reached like adult conversations. Like offenders or people who have already been living this life of violence, they know who, like what age group to attack. They know like who they're looking for. They know their prey as predators, and I feel like the kids who are more susceptible to becoming like, oh yeah, I want to be a part of the crew, are the ones that aren't informed. They're not educated in these things. Like, it is because we, as adults, don't want to be so blunt and say, if you do this, this is going to happen, which leads to this. Instead, we sugarcoat it and say, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't really do this, you shouldn't really do that. But it's like, no, we need to expose young kids to, like, the realisation that this is what's going to happen if you do this.
But where... All right, I hear what you're saying, and it's coming from a young person's voice, right? So at the end of the day, I respect what you're saying. But then I'm thinking, at what age then? And when is it too young to really have that kind of... Because you could be exposing somebody to something that they probably wouldn't have thought about. Well, that's my concern. I think as a parent, trying to know the right time to expose you to certain things and to have a conversation with you that is appropriate to your age.
Yeah, that is that I feel like that is probably the issue as well. Because with me, if I was talking to somebody who was also my age, it would very much be like a derogatory conversation where we could freely express views because we are at a certain age where that is like deemed as okay, well, you know, you're an adult, so it's okay. And for younger kids, I know their innocence and stuff has to be protected a bit. But I feel like a lot of the situations that do occur, they can be reduced.
Yeah.
Cause and effect. Going back to psychology, they can like reduce the cause and effect. So it doesn't have to be so it doesn't have to be like so forward, like seeing. It could be like, oh, you know, curiosity kills the cat. So if the cat's curious and goes and wanders in the park, blah blah blah. I feel like, how do I explain it?
So
I don't want to say dumb down because I don't want to.
Because the thing is, well, we've got organisations that talk about county line and how, I've got to turn this thing off, and how kids, vulnerable kids, are targeted, all right? So and they use really kind of strong terms, but we're all adults and some parents in that space who were having that conversation. I think for me, I don't want to scare you to the point, like what's happened to that girl who was on Clapham Common, she got abducted. And that's just round the corner, you understand? So I don't, as a parent, I'm like, how much do I say to you, well, it's dark now, don't go outside. Mm-hmm. And you've got to live in that fear, or don't go to that estate, or don't go to that person's house, or whatever. That just reduces your access.
No, but that's the thing. I don't feel as though, I 100% do not feel as though we should, when I say reduce, I don't mean reduce like limit actions and stuff. I mean reduce in terms of like, we've got like this broad scope of like, okay, for example, like violence, mm-hmm. we've got like this broad scope of violence, and then you have like sexual offenders, you have like gang members mm-hmm. and affiliates and stuff like that, you have like drugs and all of that lot. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like reducing, in the way I'm trying to explain it, is like reducing those like categories down to like stimulus response. Like, okay, if you walk around with a weapon on you, the likelihood is this is going to happen. It, that kind of like stimulus, like all consequences. Right.
Okay.
And I feel like,
so if you choose, so it's, as a parent, I'm trying to help you to make the right kind of judgments.
Yeah.
But you've got to be willing to listen to that, innit? Because I could tell you that, I don't really like that they're friend.
Yeah, I know.
And you like that they're friend.
Yeah.
So me and you are odds already, because I'm trying to tell you that with my long eyes of wisdom, in a certain sense, or basically because I've seen that kind of person before,
yeah.
I'm saying to you that I'm not telling you why, but I'm telling you, I don't really like that friend. So would you prefer us to tell you, I don't like that friend because from what I can see, their parents or their family are involved in that kind of life. They seem to be wanting to do this kind of stuff and you might get drawn into that. So I'd prefer you not to be their friend. Or would you prefer me just to say, don't talk to that friend?
No, I know it is hard because I know as a kid that you telling me like, oh, I don't like that friend. First of all, if you give me a valid reason as to why you don't like them, I'm probably going to tell my friend why my friend doesn't like you. Like, it's not going to stay. And a lot of kids are like, oh yeah, like parent, daughter or son conversations stay between us. But realistically, the friend majority of the time probably would know. So I feel like there was like a difficulty in terms of telling your kid, your offspring, like... like what to do and da, 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 da. And I feel like we have swayed kind of from that traditional ways where it's like, oh, you don't question your parents, and what like a lot of adults is like, oh, what I say goes, mm-hmm. and it's like non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like now a lot of kids are, you know, stepping up, backchatting, negotiating.
Yeah, you're backchatting, negotiating. Some of you get licked down, but when I was growing up, mm-hmm. and my mother would say, you can't. I don't want that person coming to my house. It was my mum's house, so mm-hmm. There was nothing I could do about it. I could still be friends with that person outside, but our friendship wasn't open. And so therefore, because my mother had put that remit down, if my friend had invited me somewhere and I had to tell my mother that I was going somewhere, I couldn't tell her that I was going with that friend. Mm-hmm. So I was putting myself at more risk by actually being with that person because I knew my mother wouldn't be on my side should anything happen out there. But what I think I hear you say is, we can say what we like to you. You're still going to go to your friends and talk to your friends and associate with your friends regardless. So
that's what, and I feel like that is also, sorry to sway a bit, but that is why I feel like relationships between children and parents should be like a friendship. It shouldn't just be like, oh, I'm the provider and you're like the pleb in the house. But it, I feel like it should be a friendship, because then you are more likely to know your kid more and be able to understand, like, oh, okay, I know my child in like a friendship way. I know what they would do, what they wouldn't do. I feel like kids are more... Well, I'm speaking from a very different view, because I am not a troubled child. I don't know many troubled children. Mm. And I have never met like a parent or family who are largely like different from my kind of family.
So why do you think that is?
Yeah, I know.
No, what do you know? Why do you think that is?
Because you're not limited, but you're very selective with who you like to bring around us. And who we...
I scope.
Yeah.
You know, any parent worth their salt is going to scope, especially when I got two girl pitney.
Yeah.
Me, I scope out everything. You know, and if it's, and even the people that I consider to be, you know, I'm still watching. I don't take my eyes off of you. I don't take my eyes off your sister. I never did. And I think probably that part of that was the reason why, you know, we are where we are, because I put you guys first, because I know that it's even with friends and people that you think, you know, that you can still be disappointed. Yeah. But you and your sister have had more opportunity to have an extension of experiences. Like, you know, there's certain things I allow you to do that some parents would not allow or not to do at all. You understand? But
that's because we've established a friendship. Like, I classify you as one of my friends. If you weren't my mum and I was at an event, I would most likely talk to you. Like, and you know how I am. If I don't like you,
But no, but I'm surprised to hear. I mean, I'm surprised to hear that. Because in my head, I still feel, I don't feel like I'm your friend. Because you don't, it's not like you sit down and talk to me like you do your friends. Yeah. You understand what
it's,
I mean?
Obviously, it's a different type of friendship. There's different friendships. But like, when I say friend, I mean like, as far as I'm concerned, a friend is somebody who I can confide in, who I can rely on. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a very reliable person that I know for sure. Mm-hmm. And somebody who I can laugh and have jokes with. We have jokes mm-hmm. about.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
We go out, we have fun. And I feel like a friend should be a safe space, and you are a safe space for me. Mm-hmm. I can come home, I can rant to you mm-hmm. without feeling judged, or sometimes mm-hmm. I do feel judged, but I say it.
Yeah, you say it everywhere.
Talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So but it really does depend on what you classify as a friend. That's what I class as a friend.
So you didn't? Do you think that
there are different types?
Of course, there are different types, and we could really do a whole podcast about that. But do you think then that? Would you say it's important for a young person then to feel that when they come to their parents, it's a safe space for them to be able to
100%.
To be able to explain, even if outside there's an issue, mm-hmm. that they feel that they can come home and say, look, you know, this particular thing is going on. Mm-hmm. But then you see, so that's good to hear.
It is really difficult because everybody does have different rearing techniques.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm very much like very open with you, partially because of the way I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I wouldn't say I grew up really like very strict, but I didn't grow up very lenient either. Like, I know we have established boundaries. I grew up with boundaries,
mm-hmm.
quite good boundaries. And so for me, it's like, I know, okay, I wouldn't go out and do certain things because I've been reared correctly. And then when I come and talk to you about stuff, I'm like, oh, this is this and this is this. And it's like, I know what not to do and what to do because I have been educated. Whether or not it's like you say, no, Jade, you're not going out. No, you're not going out. Or you're like, whatever, I don't like this friend or whatever the case may be.
Hmm.
You've educated me to know, okay, you've educated me enough for me to make my own choice to say, okay, if I'm going to this party, I know that if I do this, this will happen. I know if I drink, I'll probably get drunk. I know the consequences of my actions. And so I can now make a conscious decision to do or not to do something.
But I think another thing that you know, or I'd like you to know, and I think you know, like when you went out to your friends the other time, and it got to a certain time, we were texting each other, and I was like, you were like, oh, I'm going to walk home, and I was like, hell to the no, you know, I will come and get you, and what, I think it was 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I was out, and I came and got you, and you were like, oh, no, but I'm all right, I could have walked home, and I was like, not on my watch. Either a cab I was sending, and even them in the trust, but me, get out of my bed and do what I got to do. Now, some people might call that mollycoddling, right? But I call that peace of flipping mind. Yeah, because if I'd put you in a cab, I'd be up waiting, and we're talking about youth safety. You're still a youth as far as I'm concerned. And so, therefore, just because you're a certain age where government's telling me you're nearly adult enough, there's still things that I, even when I spoke to you, I said to you, you could have taken a cab, you could have walked. But, you know, look what happened to that girl who went running. You understand? And she's gone now, yeah? You never know who you may encounter. And I don't think I want to put you, you're going to find situations that you're going to have to think for yourself and respond appropriately. But I don't want to put you in a situation that we couldn't have at least preempted, which would mean we'd need to have a conversation. So if you're going to go and hang out with so-and-so, we need to have an exit plan. So what kind of time do you think you're coming home? Okay, if you're not going to be coming home that time, just text me and let me, just keep me aware of what's happening. I'm not going to put pressure. If you decide you want to sleep over because you're old enough now, and you decide, oh, I'm going to sleep over at so-and-so, then I'll be like, as long as I've got the address, as long as I've got their contact number, you know me already, innit? Then, but you know, that's different.
And that is also the thing, I know you, because we have spoken about stuff like this. I feel like a lot, maybe not a lot of parents, but I feel like that some parents don't feel as though they are obligated to explain to their children why they do certain things, which I understand, because not everything I do, I need to tell you why I do it. Partially due to age, partially due to some other circumstances, but because you and I have established, oh, okay, if I walk home in the dark, my mum's going to be worried.
Yes.
And I feel like some kids actually don't realise, like, oh my gosh, like, it's just, in my mind, it's like, oh, I'm just walking home in the dark, like, it's not that deep. It's like, I'm walking home, I can walk home, I know how to walk home, I know where I live, I know my area, whatever, and it's like, I know what to do. If someone grabs me, I'm going to shout fire, I'm not going to shout rape, because no one cares about rape, they care about fire. Like, I know this stuff, but I don't follow what you say because I know this stuff. I follow what you say because you've told me it brings you peace of mind. And so now I know, okay, to make my life easier, if I tell my mum, okay, yeah, this is the time I'm leaving, can you pick me up this time? The fact is bringing peace upon you, bringing you peace of mind, is going to inflict, like, trust in you, trust from you in me, in terms of, like, okay, well, now I know that if something's wrong, my daughter will tell me. If she's at a party, she wasn't comfortable, she will tell me, blah, 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 because she knows how I feel and how I'm going to react to the situation.
And you know that if you were in a space, I'm telling you, but you know, if you were in a space and something went down, you know that I would be in that I would be in that space like white on rice. You know what I mean? If you was like, I remember that time your sister wanted to go raving, remember? And she saw this this poster. And it was for young people under a certain age to go to this rave. And she asked me if she could go. And I was like, give me the poster and I will call the promoter, which I did. I called the promoter and I was like, okay, what safety procedures do you have in place? Should this, where are the exits, blah, blah, blah. I mean, and granted, that promoter took the time to talk to me and explain things. And you said that I could keep that number and be able to contact them and they would send me more information nearer to the time about whatever, whatever. The end of the story is your sister didn't go to that rave because it was pulled by the police. I think it was pulled by the police. But I would have preferred her to go to that because I had a contact with the promoter. But your sister was like, how could you call the promoter? And, you know, you've embarrassed me. But it is about my peace of mind. And if I'm not comfortable about other people taking the safety precautions that I would want to take for you,
yeah,
then I don't want you to hang with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the youth safety side of stuff that we're talking about later is, you know, we're scared as parents about the things that could happen that we haven't planned for.
Yeah.
You know, because people are out there, like some boy in Birmingham got stabbed in the head. I don't know if you saw it in the family group WhatsApp.
The young white boy.
I think he was a black boy. Oh. A young black boy got stabbed up in the head. Because I think some people think that they're playing Mario or computer games, mm-hmm, and that when you actually literally stab a human being, that they are
going to revive themselves.
They're going to revive themselves. They've got three lives. Mm-hmm. I don't understand where some of them, I know some of your friends are not like that, but I don't understand where they come from with that.
The thing is, I've selected who I hang around. So a lot of my friends are like me, like we don't really go partying and stuff. Mm. Any parties I do go to, it's all of the same people. Every single party I go to, it's the same people.
Mm.
And it's not like, oh, I'm going to this party and it's going to be like, oh, this person's party, but I'm actually going with this group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like, one of my friends, it's their birthday, all of us are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Next month, it's a different one of their birthdays, all of us are coming.
Mm-hmm.
We're just literally reliving the same night for a different person's birthday.
Reliving the same night!
That's literally what we're doing, like it's always like very similar. But I do know that there are some kids out there. I'm not really like a party person,
mm-hmm,
but I know a lot of my acquaintances who are not that close to me as friends, but I know a lot of them, they go to like house parties and APs. And
what's an AP?
Apartment party.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Niggas like apartment parties, or like they themselves will like book an apartment and like throw a party, or like things like that.
Right, okay.
And a lot of kids will, they invite, obviously they're so called bait, but anyways, they invite people come, and it's like, okay, in terms of the embarrassment part, with you calling the producer and stuff, if it was like me, and if it was like, oh, I want to go to my friend's apartment party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to... It's going to be weird for you, kind of.
No,
but it's going to be weird for you to, like, call the person and then be like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
A majority of the time, the way that the parties are, it's not, like, a direct, like, us knowing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's, like, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like,
but I'm cool with tell a friend to tell a friend. It's just that when you're going, I want you to tell me the address,
mm-hmm,
because if anything pops off, I want to be able to get there,
yeah,
or I want to be able to call somebody to say, this is the address, that's the last known address where,
yeah,
my child was at. That's all. And I think that's all that a lot of parents are asking for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you want to go out there and skin out and do all kind of mad shit with enough people and friend them, then you're going to do that regardless,
mm-hmm,
right? But all I'm thinking of is, if something happens, I want to be able to say, this was the last outfit I saw my child in. You shouldn't be leaving my house and I can't see what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You can be somewhere. We've got mobile phones. You must be able to text. I don't need a major long conversation, but you must be able to say, Mum, this was the plan. I was going to Chantel's. And Chantel and I have decided to go to Bridget's. Bridget's is over this side. This is where I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine by me. I don't need to call you up and say, well, blah, 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 blah. And plus as well, how am I going to teach you how to trust and manage certain situations if I am so oppressive,
mm,
that you haven't got the space to discover? Because I'm sure you've discovered certain things for yourself. And even things I've said to you, like why I say don't do certain things, and you've done it. And then when you've done it and you come back and say, oh, well, you know, Mum, yeah, this didn't really play out that well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you learn from that, babes? You know? And then you're able to think of that through. I prefer you to do that like we are now, talking stuff out, rather than...
But it really is to do with parenting, because kids will be kids and do what they live like. Whether you... Well, you can have a really disciplined child.
I think the cat wants one of your biscuits.
You can have a really disciplined child,
mm-hmm,
but there's always going to be that risk of disobedience, because at the end of the day, rules are made to be broken. And that is how it's seen. It's like, the world isn't black and white.
Mm.
There is a lot of grey,
mm-hmm,
a lot of grey areas.
There is.
And so, you trying to say, like, you trying to constrict
Constrict us?
Yeah, I mean, you know, constrict. Yeah, constrict us.
It's like, no, and it's like YOLO, like, you only live once. What's me, like, travelling half across London? I'm still going to come home, and what's my mum going to do? That's a lot of people's mentality, but the reality is...
I think it's just, it's trust.
Mm-hmm.
It is trust. And it is, yes, you're right, we've got to learn to give you that trust, but you've got to meet us
halfway.
You know what I mean? You know, you're growing up. You're gonna be going wherever you're going in after you finish your A levels, right? And then the real test will be when you're living on your own and doing for yourself. How much you've retained, how much you've remembered of what we've been through. Mm-hmm. But also, what I want you to know is it's going to be okay to make some mistakes out there, you know, and I hope that I'm around to be able to help you, and that your dad's around and other family members are around to support you. Because the biggest thing that all of us parents want is for our children to be alive.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, youth safety is still a big topic. Well, for me, one of the key things, because we want you to continue and thrive and grow.
Yeah. There is only so much that parents and carers can do, because there is always going to be a threat towards safety of anybody, especially youth. But I know you guys are trying to, like, do the most that you can and figure out what you can do and alternative ways and stuff. But there is always going to be that fear and that threat of unsafety for your children.
So we're just going to... I'm thinking solution is to keep open. You have open communication.
Mm-hmm.
Talk... not necessarily in fear, but talk appropriately around a particular subject. Give a fuller context as parents why we don't want you to do something, so that we can engage in that to and back and forth conversation. And, you know, to learn that we've got to learn to trust each other.
Yeah, I would like to correct you.
Go on,
solution,
correct me.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel as though there's ever a solution, a direct solution at least, or one that will...
solve everybody's problems.
Because I feel like solution is saying, like, vaccine, in my eyes, that's how, like, what solution says. It's like, this, if you do this, it's going to solve this problem. But, like, that will not never happen, but it's kind of inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I feel like the things that we've discussed in this session, I feel like those would help reduce the risk and educate the youth and educate adults and parents and carers as well to reduce the risk of unsafe childhoods, because I feel like, I don't know, the solution doesn't sit right with me. I don't feel like there's any direct solution. I feel like what we said, all of these, like, put into practice can easily, like, reduce the risk, but that it doesn't necessarily mean, like, oh, if you follow all of these, like, you won't be at risk of...
Well, you're being truthful, really, because the reality is life is a risk.
Yeah.
And as much, the only way, even if you try to reduce the risk and stay in your house all the time, you could have a fire, you can have electric shock, you can slip in the bath, you know, there's loads of things that you can do. So it is about what can we do to reduce the risk? And yes, some of us are going to be asking, you know, the mayor or potential mayor what they're going to do, you know. Is it unrealistic of us expecting government to do something to tackle youth safety?
No, I think that should be the key. That should be the key topic of conversation. Because at the end of the day, I hate to break it to a lot of people, but whether you realise it or not, or whether you realise it but don't truly accept it, we are the future.
Yes, you are.
And if you would like to leave a legacy, I feel like the best legacy you could leave is your children.
Yeah.
And for your children to turn out great, for them to be ambitious, for them to be thriving. I feel as though if we don't not tackle the issue, but if there's a higher risk of unsafety.
Yeah, of you not surviving.
Yeah. Likelihood is, first of all, the world's going to stop. But once certain generations are no longer here.
Yeah, once we disappear.
Hmm. Yeah. We're the ones who are going to be left. And if you guys don't teach us right from wrong, and at least try to promote healthier growth of younger people.
Yeah. And support you while we're still able to.
Yeah.
And to tackle and educate and to keep asking the questions and to keep saying enough is enough and enough's not done.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at, because problems are going to be different to every angle,
mm-hmm.
we still need to be in the mix to be able to think about ways to reduce them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've just made me realise, right, just by saying that, because I was feeling tired about wanting to talk about youth safety, but you've made me realise that while I'm still here, it's still important to tackle and try and come up with some solutions. We're not going to get it all right,
mm-hmm.
but at least we're trying.
Mm-hmm. And that's the most you could do. That is the most you could do. And it's better to try than not try at all, because it's like the all or nothing principle. You could give... Let's not get this out.
But no, I really appreciate you taking the time to yabba yabba with your mother.
It's okay.
I appreciate it. Let me pause. So as you can hear, what she's saying really is that we should still keep talking about youth safety. We're not necessarily going to find all the answers, but we do need to carry on having a conversation. Young people have been killed during COVID just because it's not reported on the news all the time. And other things have taken our attention away from it. We've got some big issues that are going to be coming up. So us parents, we should still be talking. So one of the next podcasts will be a few parents who've come in and who will be talking about whether or not they think youth safety is still relevant. And maybe coming up with some solutions around what we might be able to ask for from local government and what we can work towards in order to ensure that we're still talking and still trying to come up with solutions. Anyway, look, thanks for listening. You have a really brilliant week. Continue for your family to be safe. And until next time, I'm out.